Okay, everybody, keep breathing. We're going in, and we're going in early. Change of schedule. To pray. To meditate. To become aware of the highest power within each and every one of us here now. So keep breathing. It's a big step to become aware. And so, today's theme is power. And power is about the word. Ask yourself now, what is my word for God? What is the word I use when I think God? For me personally, it's love. Love, 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 love. It interrupts every thought that appears to be unlike God. What is your word? Think of it now. To take that word and let it touch every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being. For it is my word for God that awakens in me now. My word for God awakens in me now at the highest level of my consciousness, and it flows through my mind, and it flows through my vision, and it flows through my hearing, so that when I speak it, I believe it. And now let that word flow down into your heart. Flow throughout your being, strengthening, awakening, reminding your body of its divine purpose. Let it flow down into your feet so that now you are in a pool of your word for God. Take another breath because we're going in. Ever deeper into the silence. And on the rest of that journey in, keep repeating your word for God, for that is what is awakening you now. God is awakening me now. Love is awakening me now. Wisdom is awakening me now. Peace and joy are awakening me now. Wisdom, understanding is awakening me now. Take another breath and let's go on in to the silence. Once again, remind yourself of your word for God. So love is awakening me now. Peace is awakening me now. Joy is awakening me now. Truth is awakening me now. The good that is awakening me now. In this very precious and sacred realization. Keep breathing, and let's listen to Spiritus.
Hear, O my soul.
Good morning. We'll do a little cleanup on the stage, I hope. Hello, Britt.
Hey, Sean.
Okay, pick it up, people. It's energy here. Meditation revives us. It rejuvenates us. For those of who here doesn't know me, who here's never met me, never heard of me, and I'm a little bit famous. I have the great distinction. I was the first board president of Unity of New York. Thank you. I got to be the first licensed teacher. This stuff doesn't make, I was the first one to be ordained as a minister out of this church. It doesn't make me special, just more ambitious. And I was one of the first ones here that wanted to do that. You know, there was Britt and Paul and then me. And then how many of us joined at the restaurant and then created Unity of New York? And we're all here today on this wonderful Sunday. And what we're talking about, your theme is power. Power, the divine mind faculty of power. It sits in the throat, and it is about your word and the word you are speaking. My talk today is on the sixth commandment. I don't do a lot of commandment talks, but it's about thou shalt not kill. And my talk title is called, What's the Alternative? You know, if I'm not going to kill, what am I going to do instead? Because sometimes you just have to cut somebody. Don't you? Aren't you just justified sometimes? Well, that's the way I see things. So I got to do it. Georgiana Tree West, who is the pioneer of Unity, from the Unity movement in New York City back in the 1920s. She wrote a book called Prosperity's Ten Commandments. That's not this book. And what she says about killing is, thou shalt not take thy wealth out of circulation, which is another form of killing. Because what is your wealth but your good? Oh, I like that. Good, you're with me. You know, to take your good out of circulation. Well, when you cut somebody, you're taking your good out of circulation. Wouldn't you agree? I hope. All hands should be up. You know, but sometimes you just got to cut somebody. But then what's the alternative? It's like, but I really want to cut somebody. What am I going to do if I don't do that? Because, well, hopefully none of us are going out and killing bodies. But I think a lot of us are going out or staying home, and we're killing spirit with our word. And our word includes Facebook. It includes the word send. And so, to cut. You know, if I cut another being down, what I am perceiving them as is separate. If I cut myself down, I'm perceiving myself as separate. And when I perceive or misperceive, as the case may be, one of us, two of us, three of us, hundreds of us, millions of us as separate, I miss out on the oneness. And therefore, I misuse my divine mind faculty of power. I don't speak the truth. I don't even point the way to truth. You know, last night I was at dinner with some people, and it turned political. And I thought, man, you're missing the point. You're talking about what you don't want far more than what you're talking about what you do want. And when you do that, you take your wealth out of circulation, and therefore you kill your wealth. I have friends who like to post on Facebook. They post things on Facebook, and it is shocking to me that some of my friends who are quite intelligent somehow throw their intelligence out to the wind when they think they have something to say on Facebook. And rarely are they speaking about what they are for. They're speaking about what they're afraid of. And, you know, to speak, and I know sometimes we think we sound more intelligent if we say what's, quote unquote, bad about the world. If we say what is, quote unquote, bad about another person. But we're wrong. In truth, there is no bad. I would encourage you to take the word bad out of your vocabulary, now and forever. It's never an accurate description. It may describe your stuff you feel on the inside, that fear you feel on the inside, but it's never an accurate description of a person, a place, or a situation. Nothing is ever bad. Some stuff is hard. It's very hard for me to comprehend. And some stuff is easy. But why talk about that when there's so much hard stuff to talk about? And I can sound more intelligent, I think. I used to say that my mother and I, if we had only said nice things about other people, we'd have had very short conversations. I got lots more attention when I said what was wrong with the neighbors. You know, then we could keep that conversation going on for a long time. And unfortunately, while my mother has been gone from this planet for a lot of years, I found many friends to maintain that tradition with. and I just feel icky. Yes, the minister said icky. up here. You know, I feel icky when I have those conversations now because I know they're falling short of my ideal. And I don't want to keep falling short of my ideal. Do you? Oh, that was a lame no. It's like only the people on the side said no. I didn't hear it coming from the middle at all. You people, oh yeah, I'll keep falling short. Who cares? See, the thing is, there is no judgment from what we call God for falling short of the ideal. We're all off the hook with God in that respect because what is God but principle? Oh, we're not off the hook. We're not off the hook with principle. There is no judgment from principle. There is just results. Bless you. There is just results from principle. But from that energy that we call God energy, there is no judgment. There is no one deciding, oh, you fouled up. Oh, you just did a foolish thing, and now you're going to have to live in a punishment of some sort. We don't have that in unity. And no matter how hard you try to create it, you will not create it. You will never make God what God is not. You will never make yourself what you are not. And you will never make me what I am not. You'll never make your neighbor, your mother, your father, what they are not. You can create a misperception of them. You can create a judgment that isn't true about them or yourself. But you will never, in actuality, make any being what they are not. So let's all breathe a sigh of relief. Whoosh. Whoosh. Oh, I thought I was trapped under some things I had done or thought, but we're not. Power, correctly used, wipes away all missing of the mark, all falling short of the ideal, because in case you don't know, in case you haven't been around metaphysics long enough, that's all sin is missing the mark, falling short of the ideal. That's all that it is. Whoosh, whoosh, let's all breathe a sigh of relief. See, but what I don't get to experience when I fall short of the ideal, when I miss the mark, I don't get to experience peace. And peace is my divine inheritance. I don't get to experience love in its one of its nicer forms. I don't get to experience trust. See, if I'm placing my faith in the absence of trust, how then can I experience faith in trust? How can I experience faith in love or faith in wisdom or faith in truth, capital T truth, that has no opposite. How can I experience that if I am placing my faith in what I'm afraid of? How do I get to experience the good that is promised? It is absolutely promised in this room on Sunday mornings. It is promised in these books. It is promised in your prayers. It is promised in metaphysics classes. How do I get to experience the good that is promised if I keep fighting it? If I resist the good that I am, how do I get to experience the good that I am? And I'm good. And I'm not alone in that good. That was the big relief to me when I came into Unity and I found out I was good. Now, I had suspected all along, but it was nice to get some confirmation at Unity. Yeah. And I'm here to confirm it for you. You are good. You've always been good. You will always be good. This is a capital G good. It has no opposite. It cannot be argued with any validity. So you can walk away from here now knowing I am good. Therefore, if I am good, always have been good, will always be good, do I need to campaign against anyone? Do I need to campaign against anything? No, is the answer. No, I do not. I can campaign for what I love, for what I'm for. Campaign for what I am for. Because I am good. You know, to accept that and not worry about whether or not you agree that I'm good. I don't care if you think I'm good. If you're sitting in the front row, you might as well. you know, but it doesn't matter whether you're thinking I'm good or not, because I am still good. And it doesn't matter whether I'm thinking you are good or not, because you are still good. And I don't need everybody to come up and tell me I'm good. If I know that I am good, I will see it reflected in your eyes. If I know that I am good, I will see it reflected in my thoughts about my money. I will see it reflected in my thoughts about my body. I will see it reflected in my thoughts about my neighbor when I remember that I am good. And so we come here on Sunday mornings and we take classes and we read our books to remember, to continuously being reminded, because there's a lot going on in the world, in our body, in our money and what have you, that I could forget. I don't know about you, I could forget. Actually, I do know about you, I've met some of you. you could forget too. Some of you have taken my classes. You believe me, I know. You could forget. But right now, we're here to remember. So, what's the alternative to killing? And that's why in the meditation, I asked you, what is your word for love? Or for your word for God? What is your word? I realized a few years ago, I needed a word for God rather than the word God. Because God brings up personality to me. And, you know, when I start to think about personality with spirit, I get a little lost. And so I needed another word in my prayer time. And the word that came up for me that best described God was love. Because love is, for me, is all-encompassing. There can never be an absence of love. It's just how I'm using it. But when I think of it in those terms, I think love, 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 which means I am last, or I am loved with an everlasting love, an inexhaustible supply of it, that cannot be taken away from me and is available to me all the time. And for the first 2 years I was had my job in Connecticut, I commuted from Manhattan. And driving up 95 every day gave me lots of opportunity to pray. I really did. As I was, I didn't drive a lot before that. I used to in Pennsylvania days, but for 20 years I didn't drive much. And so I was a little nervous. I experienced anxiety. I experienced forgetting, and I didn't want to keep forgetting and then go to the church to do my job, my churchly job. And so I thought, what can I do what's the alternative to killing myself and other drivers with my thoughts on the road here? You know, I wanted to use all my fingers to wave instead of one. And so, out of fear. Hi, hi. And so I had to look at it, and I thought, well, love. That's the word I can use to start interrupting these thoughts that there's another driver trying to hurt me in some way, that there's another driver doing something that is personally affecting me, you know, whether it's intentional or not. And so I started doing love, 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 love. Every time a car would race by me, love, 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 love. It made a difference. I got to work in peace instead of, you know, instead of scared. I made that drive there and back 5-6 times a week, and I started getting there in joy. It became fun to drive. I got less afraid about changing lanes. You know, I'd like to believe I'm a good driver. Even David thinks so, and he's always the passenger, so because I'm a better driver than I am a passenger. Yeah, I have a forgetter. I forget to do the love, love, love when I'm the passenger. I'm doing the grip, grip, grip. And so to, look, what's the alternative? Well, I found an alternative, and it's my word for God. Love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. To interrupt that thought, you know, I used to have arguments in the car, and there was nobody there in the car with me. Some days I'd argue with David, and he wouldn't be there. And, you know, some days I would argue, and I'd say, Sean, do you want this to be the truth? Is this what you want to be the truth in your life? And I'd have to say, honestly, no. I didn't want those thoughts about David to be the truth. I didn't want those thoughts about myself to be the truth. I didn't want those thoughts about other drivers to be the truth. I didn't want those thoughts about anyone that I was holding as less than the ideal example in my life to be the truth. I didn't want that to be the truth. So what was the alternative? Love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then I began to pray in prosperity terms. And what I started a ritual, you'd call it, mantra, because I heard about the forgiving unto 70 times 7. So for 7 days, I would find a being that I would pray over 70 times a day in my car. And the prayer was, thank you, God, that such and such is prospering now, and thank you, God, that I am prospering now. And I would do that every, because you always have to include yourself in those kind of prayers. And so for 7 days, 70 times a day, I would do those. And I found that those beings began to transform in my mind. And I was no longer holding them to the misperception of what I had been holding them to. And the misperception is that they are less than good. Because when I hold you as less than good, I hold me as less than good. A couple of Easters ago, I really had an epiphany about Jesus. I saw that Jesus, you know, he was saying, you follow me, follow me, follow me. What it was, and I'm quite certain that this must be the truth, that Jesus, at least within the myth, knew that he controlled his day-to-day activity and his destiny through his thought. He knew that the only way he experienced you is through thought. Because that's the only way he experienced himself, was through thought. And so, if he was to get into the kingdom, which is not a place we go to when we die, it's a place we go to right now. If he was to enter the kingdom, in Moses' time it was the promised land, but enter into the kingdom, what it meant was, he had to be willing that you came in, and that you came in, and that you came in, and that you came in his mind. He couldn't hold anyone out, or otherwise he couldn't get in. It's the same, Moses couldn't get into the promised land because he doubted. And so Jesus is not trying to wash away our sins, as it were. He's washing away his misperceptions of us. And telling us that if we want to get in, we must do the same thing. We have to wash away our own misperceptions of all that we see. And that is how I'm going to enter into the kingdom, which is peace, which is joy, which is the ideal, the perfect alignment. And so to look at that and say, oh, geez, that's a big undertaking. And let me tell you something, it is. If I have a lot of judgments, it's a big undertaking. There's nobody holding the kingdom away from me. It's just my own unwillingness to enter it because my misperceptions are more important to me than no perception. No perception is horrifying. What would I do? Who would I be without my opinions? And so to look at and say, but would I start one being at a time? Could I look in the mirror and say, hi, God? And then look at another mirror and say, hi, God. And another mirror and say, hi, God. And another mirror. And I am willing. You know, to look where your judgments are. And say, oh, man. Okay, fine. Peace is more important to me than my perceptions, than my proclamations to the world, to myself, to anyone, that there is less than good. That there is less than good. And I'm willing to bet there's a couple of people here right now who are so itchy over what I'm saying. You know, that there is a, yeah, but you don't understand, Sean. And come see my nightclub acting. You'll find out I understand. I will not say things here that I say on that stage. I understand. I know where I've been. And when I came into Unity and found out it was good, I thought, you know what? Maybe my judgments aren't quite as important as they were. Maybe my resentments aren't quite as important as they were. And let me tell you, I really cleaned up a lot of my thinking. And I prospered as a result. Let me tell you, I prospered because I began to be able to see things in a very different light. And then as I prospered, I began to forget again. You know, it seems to be cyclical. I've been way up and I've been way down in regards to that thinking. And it always reflects, my life reflects, my money reflects, my body reflects, my relationship, all my relationships reflect what I'm thinking. And I was like, oh man, doggone it. I want to become willing again to enter the kingdom. When I came into Unity, they told me I had to tithe and forgive everyone. And I thought, well, I don't make that much money anyway, so what big, you know, so it's 10% of not much isn't much. So what the heck, go ahead and do that. But that forgive everyone, oh man, that was brutal. I had to look into that, forgive, to give way for a new thought about everyone, a true thought about everyone. I thought, oh, that's hard. That's really hard. What's Jesus' commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all of thy neighbor as thyself. And I had to think, which is harder, to love God or your neighbor? Anybody? Which is harder, to love God or your neighbor? I'm sorry, what?
Neighbor.
Wrong. You're wrong. It's much harder to love God. If I loved God, I'd have no problem with the neighbor. Trust me on that. If I loved God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, yeah. I'd have no problems with the neighbor. The neighbor's stuff would just be behaviors now instead of anything for me to take personally. I want to finish the word. And so to look at that, it's like, you know, we always think it's the neighbor because we're so wrapped up in personalities over principle instead of principle over personality. And if I get in line, so I'm going to read a little something here to you, and then we're going to finish. And this is my favorite book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And this comes from the first book of Peter, chapter 2. Actually, it's chapter 3. And it's about your true desire. And it says, be submissive to your true desire. In this way, you're submissive to what you call Holy Spirit, for your true desire is your spirit. True desire and spirit are inseparable. Look within to the misperceptions that make you special. Because don't our opinions make us special? And so many of us will settle for special rather than true. That is those misperceptions that seem to hold you apart from the rest. They may seem to be misperceptions that make you better, such as talent or wisdom or love. Or they may seem to be misperceptions that make you less than, such as unworthiness, sacrifice, or disdain. Whatever you see that seems to separate from others is a misperception, and it has arisen within your awareness that it may be let go through your decision to be free of it. In this way, look on everyone as the same as you, with no difference that can truly be noted. And that is the example of Jesus putting his hands on the leper. It wasn't to heal the leper, to say, you know, ta-da. It was to show there's no sickness in God. I don't have to fear this being. And that's how the healing began, because the leper, who thought he should never be touched, saw this man touching him and wasn't afraid. And others on the street saw Jesus touch this man and the leper and thought, oh, maybe it's not as dangerous as I thought. And that's where the thought of healing began, because suddenly there was an absence of fear and a presence of trust. When you see no difference between you and your brother or sister, you shall see that you are the same. When you see that you are the same, you shall see that you are also one. Accept this fact. Everything you experience comes from you. There is not one exception to this statement. Therefore, everything you see as you see it is a gift giving you, that you may see what is in your mind. Look well and remember that what you see comes from you. And the end says, you are the leader of your own awakening. The gifts you are given are the gifts you have asked to receive. And so, with your magnificent power, use it to see yourself as a God being, a love being. Before you hit send, rethink your post. Is this the post that will awaken myself and another to love? Or is this the post that will keep us in everlasting ignorance? Is this the post that really could offer so much love, so much freedom? Before you hit send at brunch today, after this wonderful service, after this time of awakening, before you hit send to the person across the table from you with your very valuable opinion, would you please reconsider and perhaps chew the inside of your mouth before you chew those words? Would you please come to the understanding that there is only one power and one presence as the universe and as my life, God the good, omnipotence. Would you say that with me? There is only one power and one presence as the universe and as my life, God the good, omnipotence. Let's say it again. There is only one power and one presence as the universe and as my life, God the good, omnipotence. And one more time. There is only one power and one presence as the universe and as my life, God the good, omnipotence. And so it is. Thank you so much. Thank you. I think you're on.